Eric Dawson's Talking Politics and Breaking Down the Issues. Coming to you live from Essex County, New Jersey, this is All Things Political.
Hey, this is E&E, and this is All Things Political. I got to let you know that my cousin was on vacation. He actually, and I'm gonna give him his props. He's the voiceover on this intro, so he's gonna redo the intro. Yeah. He was vacationing down the Carolinas, man. For those of you guys, you know, who see him, Mark Duncan is his name on Facebook. Anyway, man, I want to get right into it. And there were some people who listened to the FM show, the Eric Dawson show on 94.3 FM. And I'll have the podcast for today's show up tomorrow for folks to listen to. But listen, it's crazy, man. I had the guy, Chai, who was one of the Republicans who ran on this, what they're calling the C team in the South Ward. So the issue is, just so that the listeners know, and I know that there were a couple people who were in a thread asking me, said they came to the other show late, so I'm going to explain it again so people fully understand it. So this is what happened. June 7th was Election Day.
Correct.
The C team had apparently several write-in candidates for district leader, Republican. Mm-hmm. So as you know, if your name is on the ballot, when you get the ballot in the mail, you'll see your sample ballot in the mail, you'll see all the people who are on the ballot. And so you can properly mount a campaign effort against that person who's on the ballot. So if you were running for district leader in District 22E, and I was running, you would know that I was running because you would see my name on the ballot, right? You'd be on one line, I'd be on another line, we'd be running against each other.
Got to know your enemy.
You got to know your enemy. But the thing about a write-in campaign is you don't know who your enemy is, because you could write anybody in. You see, you can write anybody in. So when you get the sample ballot, you don't see a name on there. You think you're the only person running. But if I was organized enough to do a write-in campaign, right, and I had people going and writing, you might not know, depending upon the number of votes I needed and how quiet I was doing it, you might not know until after the votes are counted on Election Day. And you say, oh, snap, he ran and he won. Right? So that's what happened.
Wow.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's funny because, you know, you're on the ballot and you figure, well, I'm the only guy on the ballot, so if I vote for myself or my mom votes for me or my kids vote for me or whatever, you know, I'm good. But somebody's not in a covert asymmetrical war against you, you know, and what happens is you turn up and then you lose the whole war because you didn't even know you had an enemy.
Wow. That's absolutely right. Beautiful. And that's what happened. And so... Okay. And so these guys, Schwab and Howard Edwards, they figured they only needed a couple of votes because nobody else was on the ballot, right? Meanwhile, the C team mounted an asymmetrical war, and they had candidates that they wanted to get elected, and they had people in the community who were going to go and write them in. That's what happened. Now, beyond that, so now the current chairman, Al Schwab, who, by the way, I got to say this, is a family friend. Like, he calls my aunt, my aunt's auntie, and my cousins, the cousins, we hang out. I've known him since I was on Leslie Street. And I left Leslie Street somewhere in the, like, 9th or 10th grade. So I've known this brother for a very, very long time. So I want to put that out there.
Okay.
But sometimes we got to have honest conversations about what the right thing to do is, right? So when I guess there was some point during the 7th where he realized, oh, snap, Right? There were some other people, and those people won. Then it seems as though, and I would love to have him on the show, and Harold Edwards, too, is a family friend. He and my dad go back long, long way. So I'm just good. That's full disclosure. In fact, when I went to vote, you know, folks can say what they want to say. I still vote in Newark. I live in Montclair. I have never changed my voting from Newark because Newark needs my vote. I vote on like, I don't care, man. Let them say something. I still live part-time at my parents' house. I still get mail there. I still hang out there. Right.
You
so
still
let's
got
my
your G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip there, right?
And the Rock and Sock and Robot. Come on, <man. laughs> you. See, you don't want to do that with me, man, because, see, the big wheel's still in the basement, too. You know?
I
got to put the one foot on it, and I got to kick with the other one because I'm too big to sit on because my knees hit the thing.
Wow. Okay.
Hey,
all right,
man.
My man. So these local politics is blowing up. So where are we at right now in there?
Oh, so where we are now, fast forward, so I'm going to go real quickly through it. So they had a reorganization meeting where they were supposed to vote on who was going to be the new Republican South Ward chair. Mm-hmm. And Brother Suave sent out a letter saying that they were going to convene on June 20th. But the bylaws say that they're supposed to convene the Monday after the election, which was yesterday.
Yes.
Was yesterday. So had the people listened to what Suave said, they would have showed up at the party late, and then Suave would have been able to have his people vote for him. What apparently happened is those folks knew the bylaws, so they all showed up. So now Suave looks and realizes he's outnumbered, right? Doug Freeman has 12, because 16 total people won as Republicans. Doug has 12 of them who ran on his ticket. So do the math. There are only 16 people. Doug got 12 of them. They're going to vote for Doug. So Al Suave saw that, and apparently guys like, Herbert Glenn from, I believe he's from the West Ward, came over and tried to cast the vote, and somebody else, Wilbur, somebody, Ross, came over and tried to cast the vote.
Are these guys South Warders?
No. What? And
Democrats
came over and tried to cast votes for him.
Right.
And the bylaws clearly state that only Republicans and only, you know, newly elected or duly elected South Ward Republicans can vote.
Right. There you go. Okay. That makes sense.
So according to the other people that I talked to, and again, I would love for Suave or love for Howard Edwards to call in and clarify anything that they think that I'm saying wrong. But the brother who I talked to on the earlier show, he said, no, Eric, you got it exactly right. They hijacked the whole system, and they just declared that he was the chairman. They ended the meeting, and they left.
Okay.
That was it. So now there are protests, and I'm getting text messages that in West Orange, the Republicans are not letting Harold Edwards and Suave in the building. That's what I mean. They said they ain't letting them in the building.
The honorable Al Suave and Harold Edwards are not able to do their honorable duty and go in and vote for themselves, huh?
That's absolutely correct. That's absolutely correct. The Republicans are not letting them in the building. Now, former Mayor Sharp James' name came up across my, my inbox as well, that he had been in some negotiation with somebody over something, and I don't know the specifics of it. So until I find out, you know, I'll kind of leave it there. You know, but I do remember early on during this whole process, folks were saying that Sharp was going to run for district leader, and that he was going to seek to become the South Ward Democratic chairman. That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That would be
my
interesting,
question, though, let me ask you a question, though. I mean, I've lived in Newark all my life. Of course, I've been to college and military and that type of thing and lived outside of the state of New Jersey for, you know, periods at a time. never known Republican politics to be big in North. Where is this coming from?
Oh, brother, you had to listen to this brother Chai, who was on the show earlier, man. And when that podcast is up, he goes in and he went in deeper than I was prepared to, right? And I'm going to do some research because I think it's worth doing a show.
Wow. Okay.
Blacks, the Republican Party was the party for black folks.
Right.
Way back.
Yeah,
right.
We understand that.
And right. And so now what he's saying is this, look, right now there are a lot of resources. He said in other towns like Millburn and, you know, and other places where there are Republicans, you have a balance of Republicans and Democrats, and they're both fighting to get resources to improve the community. He said here, it's like we're fighting with one hand behind our back, where if you had an emergence of the Republican Party in the black community and folks who were looking out for the interests of black people, he said, listen, man, he said, I'm a Republican. He said, but you and I go back and forth on Facebook because I like the Honorable Mayor Raj J. Baraka. I support him. So we're not talking about a Donald Trump Republican mindset. And that's what I said to him. I said, look, you know, with what, especially with what has happened this last, you know, this recent primary season, doesn't it make it difficult for you to sell the idea of having a black Republican? Because we know how in our community, right, you hear Republican, some black folks, man, they get around.
They're not bothering with you. If you see anything Republican, they're not talking, they're not looking, they're not listening. If it has anything to do with being a Republican, sad to say, you know, knowing the history of the Republican Party and African Americans, you know, to boot, it's just that they are not a brand that is welcome in our community. But I could see, however, a centrist looking a Republican Party maybe get a foothold if it was done correctly. Because
Al Sawab's a Republican. Yeah, would you think that he was a Republican? You know who else is a Republican?
Absolutely not. Tony
Vaughn. Who?
Right.
Who else did you say?
Herbert Glenn.
Yes, these are all
Republican guys.
Yeah, they're Republican guys, and they're in the community, and they're doing work. I mean, Herbert Glenn runs a tennis thing for youth. He does some other things for youth in the community, right? You know, he's trying to get grant money to do whatever, very supportive of some stuff that's going on. Al Sawab is same deal. Doug Freeman's a Republican. You see the great work he's doing over there at Weekway Park. And, you know, Edward Wadu is a Republican. And you have Muslims who are Republican. So I said to them, look, I think, like you said, there's a brand problem, though, that they have to overcome. And how they overcome that is going to be challenging. But listen, they did the thing this time, man. They got their people in. It was a covert operation. It was successful.
Right.
And, you know, and so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens, man.
Like you said, you pick your wars. So they obviously picked the right time and hit the right spot to be able to be successful. We'll see, you know, moving forward, you know, what that are, you know, buy for them, you know, so to speak, in the future. But, you know, I'm just looking at the fact that, you know what, Abraham Lincoln was a Republican, you know. He was a guy that we revere in the black community. You know, some do, some don't. You know, but, you know, by and large, revere in the black community for being that president who, you know, did the Emancipation Proclamation. He saw it through. He was ultimately killed for it, you know, and martyred for that. But In today's world, Republican hasn't had a shot in a place like North, you know, barring, you know, looking at us switching and going over because there's a charismatic figure or somebody who's actually speaking our language, and I have yet to see that. So, you know, I really would like to see where this moves and what this does for them. And if it can bring more resources into the political process in New Jersey, in northern New Jersey or wherever in New Jersey, I think that would be a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So you know, the wait is on, and we'll see how that thing goes. And as far as reorganizations go, you know, there's a, you know, now I can't curse on the FM station, but I could certainly curse here on this one. It's going to be a shit show
probably taking place right. Well, they said that that they're not letting Howard Edwards in, and I guess up there is the entire reorganization. So they're doing the Democrats and the Republicans, and
right.
You know, I was told that some guy, I don't know what the name was, in West Orange, was going to challenge Leroy Jones. Now, you know, I'm not sure how, you know, how successful that's going to be. I know that you have a lot of people, you know, people say that, you know, Leroy's got some enemies. I guess anytime you've been at that position for the time that he has, you have to
right.
have accumulated some enemies, right? And now with Leroy being on trial, you know, for assaulting Bill Graves, you know, or
oh,
allegedly
wow.
assaulting Bill Graves.
That's still,
yeah, man.
That's still living?
Oh, dude,
I thought
dude,
that was
that trial. Problems. No, man. So let me. Hey. So the
wow.
and I gotta say, Essex County Politics broke that story last
right.
year, but
oh,
they
I remember.
Moved it to Jersey City. Mm-hmm. They moved it to Jersey
well,
City.
How can
and,
they get a change of venue?
I don't know, but they got a change of venue,
what?
And and I think 3 weeks ago the date was set, or 2 weeks ago, and they went in. And I was told, man, Channel 7, Channel 2, Fios, the Star Ledger, Politiker, Politico, all of them were there. And the
mm-hmm.
judge said, oh, I intended to reserve my docket for this case only, and in error, we booked all of these other cases. And so they had to postpone it. And the postponed date is, I believe, June 23rd. So Leroy Jones will be in court, and he is defending himself against allegations of hitting a 74-year-old blind Army vet who's a senior citizen. You know, and there's video, right? There's video. So, you know, yeah, so I believe that, you know, whatever political enemies he might have are smelling the blood and the water and trying to figure,
yeah.
you know, out whether this is the best time to, you know, to take him out, you know, so we'll see what happens.
That's
we'll see what happens.
Wow. But that's okay. See what happens. Damn. I guess I can't
yeah,
say that
man.
Right now. That's crazy. So what about this, what about this thing in Orlando, bro?
Well, you know, I'm watching the news feeds go across, and Donald Trump is speaking, and he's saying Obama was more angry at me than the Orlando shooter. That's funny. Obama, you know, was pissed.
You know what?
Today,
I see Trump losing his luster very quickly.
Oh, dude.
He doesn't know what to say. He doesn't know how to say it. Don't know why to say it. Don't know when to say it. He just opens his mouth and shit just comes out. Excuse my language. It's retarded that he it's crazy to see that he's come this far using the tactics and strategies that he has used to get this far. I just cannot see how a man so ignorant mouth can just out of his mouth and then will not just say it, he'll double down, he'll triple down, he'll quadruple down on an erroneous statement that makes no sense. I just don't get it how, and nobody in the Republican Party is backing him, but nobody in the Republican Party is backing away from him either. I just don't get it.
Well, what are they going to do?
I don't get it. There he is. He's,
you know,
he's making President Bush is President Obama look like he has something to do with this shooter in Orlando. Now, he knows full well the man had nothing to do with it, but just the way he uses language and how he's been able to do so on television for so many years, he feels as though he could just say whatever he wants to say and get it off, and nobody says anything about it. And if there's anything negative said about it, it helps him because he's getting ratings and he's getting coverage. He's taking his air out of all of the rooms around the country. So I see him, though, every day, the more he opens his mouth, the less credibility he has, and the more he looks like that he's going to get landslid by Hillary Rodham Clinton. And what do you think
about
that?
Well, because he still hasn't really produced. Well, he still hasn't produced any coherent plan, right? I mean, if you would ask the average person, well, what's Donald Trump going to do? They're going to say, but look, he's a tremendous brand guy, right? So they're going to say he's going to build a wall. That's what they're going to tell you. He's going to build a wall. And then they have the double down is, and he's going to get rid of all the Mexicans and the Muslims. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to make America great again. Those are the four things. He's going to make America great again by building a wall, getting rid of all of the Muslims, and keeping the Mexicans out, deporting them all, 11 million people.
Okay.
That
all
doesn't
right. Let me
fly
give you an example.
In a general election, though. But it doesn't fly in a general – it flies in a Republican primary because you
right.
have a bunch of foaming at the mouth Republicans who are looking for any red meat that you're willing to throw them. And Donald Trump
right.
was just, you know, bombastic in throwing them this red meat. Do you know what I'm saying? But now,
right.
as things settle down, and even I believe it was in Virginia, Donald Trump's crowd was smaller 4 days ago than his normal crowds. They showed all these empty seats, man. So what you're saying is bearing true on the campaign trail where, you know, people are starting to – he's plateaued. Do you know what I mean? Like he's
right.
peaked.
There
he
you
peaked
go.
Early. He peaked too early, right? And so now he's got nothing left. And now
right.
Hillary Rodham Clinton – and I'm not a supporter of hers, but Hillary Rodham Clinton, know what she's saying now? And they're brilliant. They're saying Donald Trump doesn't have the temperament. See, so now every time he goes, see, right? It's treating him like a little child. He doesn't have
right.
throwing temper tantrums, right? And so now every time he comes out with his hair all over the place and he's screaming and hollering about this one and that one and everything, well, see what I tell you? He doesn't have the right
dude.
They're setting
well,
him up
funny.
For the
it's
big.
Funny how it's funny how they're trying to change his temperament. And we got, you know, him looking now he's reading the teleprompter. He's trying to look more on what the code word is, presidential. You know, he is trying to straighten his hair a little bit, straighten his tie a little bit. And he's not used to as much. And he's looking like a trained walrus up there. This is not natural at all. He's, you know, you can tell he's reading the prompter, you know, the teleprompter. You can tell that that's not what he wanted to say. But at the end of the day, you know, he's doing it because he wants to win. And he's also losing a lot of credibility because he cannot say anymore, I am so funding my campaign. I'll fly in on my personal jet, and I pay all my own bills, and so on and so forth, because there are now countless stories in the press where he doesn't do all of that. He's not worth as much as he says he is. He doesn't do all of the things in charity that he says he does. So now all of these things are coming home to roost, and he's looking retarded. He's always flat-footed now. He used to be the guy on offense all the time. Now he's the guy on defense all the time. So, you know, I see him, again, every day that goes by, every minute that clicks by, he gets less and less credibility for being the Republican nominee. And again, I'm not a Hillary supporter, you know, to this point either, you know, but I could see where she would definitely, by a long shot, be a better president and presidential candidate than, you know, Donald Trump would be. I don't know what they were thinking about when they elected this man to be their nominee. But, you
well,
know, getting
so
back to the thing in Orlando, you know, I wake up, you know, and we haven't really spoken since then, and I see yet another shooting. And we've been having these mass murders in these states, you know, going back over several years now, almost like once a quarter, if you really look back at the list of shootings, you know, by these individuals that go out and purchase guns and you know, do whatever they do, you know, they come back and they kill people on a four-month basis, 12 people, 20 people, you know, 15 people, now 50 people. It's retarded. You know, I can't imagine, you know, me being somewhere with loved ones or friends or whatever, and somebody walks in and just open fires, you know, randomly and just start, you know, mowing people down, you know. But, you know, Blacksburg, Newtown, Kilpin, San Bernardino, Edmonton, Fort Hood, Binghamton, Aurora, all of these are north of 10 killed people, north of 10 injured individuals. You know, when does this stop? You know, and that's the question. The president went on, you know, went live with media today to say, you know, look, at the end of the day, when you know, years ago, I started trying to talk about common sense measures to be able to try to quell this type of behavior in our society, try to keep and gather guns out of the hands of individuals that, you know, don't need the guns first and foremost, and then have no idea what to do with the gun unless they have it, unless it's something violent. You know, he's been saying this since he's been in office. He's been blocked. He's been filibustered. He's been, strategically disabled from doing his job as president and taking care of the American people when it comes to these mass murders. So, I give him a lot of credit for speaking up and constantly keeping the pressure on this gun lobby and to try to do something about not maybe changing the Second Amendment, but, you know, amending it to the point where it makes sense. Amending it to the point where, you know, if you're a student, you could go to school without worrying about being mowed down. Or if you're in a movie theater with your honey, you're eating popcorn, you're not going to get 12 bullets in the back of your head. Or if you're gay,
give me a bullet while I paid $10 for a bag of popcorn.
You know what I'm saying? I paid $20 to go to the movie to get shot. Give me a break, bro. I'm not being shot.
Listen, man. There is unreasonableness amongst the NRA, right? But what I believe, E, is that the unreasonableness really isn't at the top, right? Those people have a different agenda. And when you look at, you know, unions or lobby groups, the people at the top are making a ton of money, and they have an agenda, which is to keep their pockets stuffed, right, at any cost.
Mm-hmm.
The rank and file to become more vocal. The rank and file. And I believe that what we need to do is begin to push out public service announcements and other kinds of education material about what's going on to the rank and file. Just like that town hall that that Obama had, you know, where the guy mentioned something about, you know, a car. If you had somebody who had a DUI or did something and crashed in a car, well, you don't ban all cars, you know. So why would you, to have somebody with a gun, why would you want to ban all guns? And no, President Obama said, well, wait a minute. He said, stop. He said, firstly, and he said, that's a really poor analogy, right? But the reality is, I'm not saying that we want to ban all guns. I'm simply saying that why not have a background check? Right? Why not have a waiting period? Certainly, if you have somebody who's on a do not fly list because the government believes that that person might be a terrorist, but they can go to a gun show and they can purchase a semi-automatic, you know, assault weapon.
They're calling it a weapon of war. It's a weapon of war.
Mm-hmm. And they can do that. But they can't get on a plane. But they can do that. So the FBI has them tagged. Everybody's surveilling them. But he or she can go and buy a gun. There's a problem with that. And so when the NRA looks and says, you know what, we're absolute in what we believe. And I'm talking about the upper tier of the NRA, not the rank and file. Because the rank and file are the ones who pay dues, right? And those dues are what makes the NRA such a strong lobby group. They start to withhold some of their dues, or if some of those people say, you know what, this is a little too radical for me. I don't agree that, people should be able to go buy Kevlar piercing bullets, right? Now, remember that whole argument? And the NRA was like, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? Well, what do you mean, why not? Why would anybody want a Kevlar piercing bullet, except to be able to shoot and kill a police officer or other law enforcement officer who has a bulletproof vest on? What other reason would you have?
Right.
But the NRA stood, they stood firm and said, nope. And so you need to rank and file, E, to look and say, okay, you're being ridiculous. I can't roll with this now. Like, I can roll with the fact that, you know, I should have a right to bear arms. I should have a right to protect my person and my property and my family. I should have a right to do all those things, and even to protect myself against the government, right? But I've got it. Otherwise, hey, give me a rocket launcher. Can I have a rocket launcher? Can I have a bazooka?
Hey, you know what? Hey, dude, I was looking at one of those B-2 bombers. You know, I really would like one of those. You know.
You know.
I want to comment on what you said earlier about Donald Trump looking, you know, them talking about him looking presidential, right? And
the
walrus. But here's the deal, right? Both of them, whether it's Hillary or Donald, the only one who wasn't primped and prepped was Bernie Sanders, right?
Right.
Bernie came
right.
out and did Bernie. These
right.
other people, they are putting in front of the American people what they believe, based on looking at polls, would be appealing to them. That's what they're doing. They're marketing these people to you, and so they're changing. And then, you know, when I thought about that song, the Nat King Cole song, Calypso
mm-hmm.
Woman. You remember that song?
Yeah.
There's a verse in there where it says, "These Yankee girls give me big scare. Is black the root? Is blonde the hair? Her eyelash falls, her face is paint, and pads are where the girl she ain't. She jitterbugs when she should waltz. I even think her name is false. But Calypso
wow.
girls is good a lot. Is what you see is what you got." See, now, that might have gone over some of the listeners' heads.
No, that was
but
that,
it said,
that was
yo,
that.
Right? Right? But we're so used to phony that when we see real, it's ugly. We're so used to phony that when we see real, it's ugly. That's horrible. And so you're looking at,
wow.
oh, well, look at Bernie Sanders. His hair is all messed up. Look at Bernie Sanders. He's old. Look at Bernie Sanders. And look at Hillary Clinton. Her hair is neat. And then they're brazen enough on the media to talk about it. Oh, look at the,
right.
you know, they changed the lighting so that Hillary looks light. You know, they're shooting her from this angle. They changed their haircut. Oh, now.
Yeah, it's a concerted effort, you know, from soup to nuts to make her look a certain way, to make her sound a certain way, to make, you know, everything about her has to be just so. And the same thing with Trump. I don't let nobody fool you. You know, all that stuff wasn't unscripted. That's just, you know, the racist stuff that comes out of his mouth. But they knew it was going to come out of his mouth. You understand what I'm saying? The thing would make me so impressed with Bernie is that he actually had a slogan. And his platform matched his slogan. You follow what I'm saying? Like, make America great again. All right, granted, not a bad sounding slogan. But at the end of the day, what he's trying to do and what he's saying doesn't match the slogan. You know, breaking down boundaries. Hillary's, you know, that's the only slogan I ever really heard her come up with. But her words and her rhetoric didn't really match the slogan. Bernie, you know, a future you could believe in, said that, look, what we're looking at right now, okay, we need a, you know, a minimum wage hike. We need to make sure our kids can get educated for free. We need to make sure that, you know, we get free health care, you know, if not today, sometime in the near future, so on and so forth. You know, we need to make sure that Wall Street doesn't continue to take 99% from the 99%. You know, and that's a future you could believe in. It's, I mean,
So did you hear, E, that the meeting that he has set up with Hillary, there may not be an endorsement, bro, because Bernie laid out that he wants.
I honestly didn't think he was, E.
He said he wants Debbie Wasserman Schultz gone. He said
he
wants her gone. He said, I want the primaries to be open. He said, I want to end superdelegates. He said, and I want a better staff voting polls in primary elections.
Right.
Dude.
Right.
They're not going to agree to that.
No. They're not going to go anywhere near to agreeing on that. And that's what's going to drive Bernie to run that third. I'm telling you, bro, I just feel it in my bones. Because, that's, again, at the end of the day, the numbers add up. The numbers add up. I don't see undeclared voters sticking with Hillary if they are. If he runs a third party vote, I see him taking some from Trump. I see him getting all of what he got in the Democratic Party. I see it. You know, so I mean, nobody's talking about that because everybody wants to coordinate Hillary. But he's steadfast and he's saying, you know what? The convention's not here yet. Superdelegates haven't voted yet. Let's see what happens. I think, again, if he even looks like he's going to get close to flipping a considerable amount of superdelegates, I see him running a third-party slot. But, you know, that's not neither here nor there. Now, did you see anything about this Russian hackers this week going into the DNC network to find out what they can find out on Trump? Yeah.
No, I don't know anything about that.
The Russian intelligence organizations. This is just all. They went in. They've been hacking into the DNC since last summer, undetected. And they got some company called CloudStrike to go in and see what was going on because there was some shenanigans, they believed. And lo and behold, you had two Russian hackers that were in the system. You know, eventually they got them out. But these hackers had access to emails, instant chats. They had access to the entire site, you know. And what they were caught looking at was the information that, you know, the DNC had gathered up on Trump to run the campaign against him. So, you know, they're cyber striking the DNC to find out how to be what's going on with Trump. I'm thinking Trump sent them in there. What do you think?
Dude, I'm looking at the headline now on CNN Politics. Russian hackers stole Dems Trump files, firm says. Wow. That's pretty intense, man. That's intense. I'm going to see if I can get the audio file up. I'll play the audio file for the listeners so that they can hear this. Let's see if I can cue this up. Hold on.
Question about it. We've talked to DNC officials. We've also talked to the outside firm that the DNC brought in when they recognized that there was an issue here. That firm called CrowdStrike has kind of a rapid response operation that came in over the weekend and recognized this. There were two separate intrusions, one of which lasted over the course of an entire year. It was looking at chatter within the DNC. Also a second intrusion that deliberately targeted opposition research from the Democratic National Committee related specifically to Donald Trump. They removed some of those files. Now, the Democratic National Committee says these intrusions have been basically buttoned up at this point, and most importantly, that no financial data, no intensive candidate data was breached during these two entities aligned with the Russian government, according to this outside group, CrowdStrike, were inside the Democratic National Committee for more than a year in one case. Now, one of these two entities that had targeted the DNC was the same entity that had infiltrated the networks of the White House, the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and the State Department. So they had a lot of experience going after U.S. entities, U.S. government entities like this. But actually, as you noted from the very beginning, the DNC is acknowledging that this occurred. This was first reported by the Washington Post. We have since reported the same exact thing. But there's a recognition here that for more than a year inside one of the two major political party operations, Russian-affiliated hackers were inside their network. And I think there's kind of the rationale here, or at least the recognition on both the DNC's part and on CrowdStrike's part, that this is a very real problem, one that they have moved to address quickly, but that still occurred for a very long period of time. And of course, the very interesting wrinkle here, as we've all known, the relationship between Donald Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin, deliberately targeting opposition research on Donald Trump held by Democrats, Ashley.
Dude.
Yo, I'd say it's a dirty game, man.
And did you see that the guy, what's his name from WikiLeaks? Is that it, WikiLeaks?
WikiLeaks.
The same guy who leaked out some other information.
You're talking about Snowden?
No, not Snowden. But the guy, what's his name? He's got like a French name or something. I'm trying to find out what his name is. Julian Assange. Julian Assange said that he is going to release. Right? He said WikiLeaks will publish enough evidence to indict Hillary Clinton, warns Assange.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
it's funny. Now, if they can get into the DNC's files, why wouldn't they be able to hack her server?
So here's the deal, man, and it's funny because my daughter's girlfriend is a computer forensics person. So
okay,
what she does
is
you delete
cloud. That's what CloudStrike does. forensics.
Right. So when you delete something, she's able to go back in. Her job is to go and find the breadcrumbs back to where that file originally was on a hard drive, because each file that you delete leaves fingerprints, right? It's not really deleted. Like, I mean, I guess there's a way that you could probably delete them, but the average person who just hits delete. Now, I'm assuming that the former Secretary of State who had hired her personal guy to build a server, that they probably gave her the proper instructions and proper tools to delete those 30,000 emails. But
I would say so.
I would say so too. But and now here's the question: does the State Department have her server? Who has Hillary's server right now?
The government has her server. They've been breaking that server down for a year and a half. They've been trying. That's where they're getting all the emails and stuff from. The stuff that they could recover, they got from the server. So that was taken.
Okay, so they. So they're going through her server, right? So, so they're doing it, and hopefully the forensics people can find, some fingerprints or data prints to the data that was deleted, and then be able to recover it and know exactly what was on there. But listen, man,
my whole thing with it was this: they have been running around talking about these two Russian guys from the Russian. And intelligence. They have been running around in the DNC's server since last summer. Let me repeat that. Last summer. So if they've been running around in their server since last summer, undetected. Nobody knew they were there. You have no idea what they know about the DNC. I mean, whether, it's just life-threatening or not, or whether, it could be organization-threatening or whatever the case may be, but I just think that they would be a little more secure of an environment, server-wise, than Hillary Clinton's personal server would be. So if somebody knew that she was dealing with a personal server, I'm almost sure it would be a little easier to jack into her server than it would be, an organization the size of the DNC server. So my whole crux in saying, the whole crux of me saying that is this. We don't know what's been compromised and her server, because we have no idea what they've been doing for 8 months in the DNC server. We have no idea what they know.
Yeah.
They may have the damn email for all I know. You follow what I'm saying?
No, I do.
But before she was able to get rid of them, there could be a record. Somebody could have downloaded her hard drive through a server. So you could do stuff like that.
Yeah, no.
So, I'm just saying, bro.
Well, we can sit and wait to see. We can sit and wait to see. Somebody, a listener said today we're trying to call in. I did not was unable to see that listener on the. Somebody just inboxed me and said, "Hey, I've been trying to call in. I didn't see that listener there." What I would say is I do see people in the call queue, but nobody's looking to call. If you want to call in, make sure you hit 1 on your keypad. So, the call-in number, right, is 646-668-8859. But hit 1 on your keypad. Oh, there we go. There we go. So let's take this caller and see what's up. Hello, caller.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello.
I'm doing well.
Hey, good evening.
My name is Sanrod. How you doing today?
I'm Sanrod. Sanrod?
Yes.
Okay.
Your question or a statement?
Well, no, it's more so of a statement. You guys were making some valid points earlier about Donald Trump. I think the problem with Donald Trump is more so that he's just crass. I don't think he's a bigot. I don't think that, he hates black people. Definitely don't think he hates Latinos either. But he's just crass, and people don't like people that are crass. But as far as him telling lies, he really hasn't said any lies. And I just don't understand why people don't like him. That's what I'm trying to understand. Why don't people like him? Because he hasn't said anything that's not true. He said the things about Mexicans. So far, he's proven that right.
Sir. I'm sorry.
Well,
that,
he did.
You know, all
he did.
All Mexicans. Hold on, bro.
Not all.
All
not all. You're 100% true. You're 100%
okay.
correct. Not all. But
okay.
statistically, the ones that he's going by statistics that have been recorded here in the United States, and it's proven that. You know, the same statement he made back in 2013 about all, you know, Latinos and blacks being the major cause of crimes in New York City, which was true, again, based on factual things.
I'm not sure you can say that actually, sir.
Well, when you go based on police reports, you know, that becomes a fact, you know?
Okay, well, police reports, we can go all past that.
I mean, of course, we all know that there's corruption. We all understand there's corruption. But the thing is that people are taking things personal, and yet, you know, they support Hillary, yet, you know, they don't take into account that Hillary has been in office for over 30 years. And the fact that she lost to Obama, who was only a sophomore senator when he won, yet she was way overqualified above him at that point, yet she lost to him. Here goes 8 years later, you know, and she's Secretary of State 4 years out of the 8 years. You know, and yet, you know, now all of a sudden she's better. She's the perfect candidate. She was the perfect candidate 8 years ago.
I don't know. I don't think
you're
listening to the show, bro.
Yeah, no. But what I'm saying is, you know, there's a lot of criticism towards Trump, but there could be just as much criticism about Hillary.
All I ask is, just keep
an open mind.
The major criticism, sir, is this, at the end of the day.
I just want to mention one thing, because you said, when is he lied, right? So in his last speech, right, he said that a large number of Somali refugees in Minnesota have tried to join the Islamic State, right?
Mm-hmm.
So promoting this fear. And the truth of the matter is only 12 Minnesotan Somalians have been charged with aiding ISIL. So – I mean, I can keep going. I got a whole list.
Oh, yeah,
right?
and that's
that.
A 100% true statement.
So, but I want you to understand, right? Well, no. The truth, when he says a large number, right, and then I tell you that there are only 12, right, so then when we say that he's a fearmonger, and then you say, well, why don't people like him? Well, it's because he's selling himself based on fear, right? He's selling himself based on all Mexicans are rapists, that all Muslims are bad.
He's never said Muslim.
Again.
No.
And the way
he said Islamic terrorists, not Muslims. He's never said the word Muslim ever in any of his speeches.
So when he wants to put a ban on Muslims, but he wants to put a ban on Muslims, right? So the idea
he's never said
Muslim.
All Muslims.
That's a billion people worldwide plus.
Do you understand? So it's those kind of statements, sir, that make people look and say, you know what? He wants to take America. He wants to take America backwards, right? So I contend that when he says I want to make America great again, what he really means is I want to make America white again.
That is so wrong.
Here's the thing with Trump with me. He has not, and we said this earlier in the show. He has not given you one scintilla of something positive that he wants to accomplish as president of the United States. Building a wall is not something positive. That's actually looked at as something negative because of something we're not doing, which is not a fact because at the end of the day, President Obama has exported more illegal immigrants than any president before him. You know, so where this big thing about the wall needs to be built now, I don't understand it. He hasn't given you anything concrete to say about his economic plan. He hasn't given us anything concrete about a foreign plan. He hasn't given us anything other than he wants to, like you said, he wants to make America great again. We're going to build this wall. We're going to do it sure enough, and that's it. I mean, he hasn't given us nothing.
So as far as this wall, first of all, it's a figurative wall. He's not going to build an actual physical wall. You know, wall, literal wall. It's a figurative wall. What he's trying to say that we need to mend our immigration laws, reforms, you know, and if that means stop the immigrants from coming in while we get our act together, then that's what needs to get done. And if it means that he's going to be tougher on Mexicans because that's where most of the crimes and the criminals are coming in from, he's going to be tougher. He's not going to build a physical wall. That would be ignorant.
Wait. That's another lie that he just told you. I mean, he's from day one, brother.
Do you really think he's going to build an actual wall? Really?
Hey, the man is a builder, isn't
really?
he?
Really? Do you not realize the line of distinction between the United States and Mexico? Do you really think he's going to build a wall? Dude, let's think about this also. Let's think about this. Let me finish. Second, you guys talk about him like he's going to be able to accomplish this in a matter of no time. You have to remember that if he gets elected, let's just say hypothetically elected for a 4-year term, the first two years alone, he's going to spend trying to catch up with the current politics of this current administration before he can do anything. You know, and not only that, in the first 2 years, he's also trying to build his cabinet, hoping that he's going to get a second election, which he probably won't. That's only the first 2 years. Then the second 2 years of his 4-year term, he's going to attempt to make some changes into government. But guess what? That's what Congress and the Senate is for. That means he's going to be blocked the same way Obama has been blocked to do many things. So by the time that his 4 years are up, he may not be popular, and he may not even get reelected, and he may have accomplished absolutely nothing. So all this ruckus, all these issues are moot at this point. Moot, completely moot. Let's use Obama as a perfect example. He's been president for 8 years. He really hasn't done much except, well, it's going to be 8 years. Let him just round it out. So he in these 8 years, the only thing that he really has accomplished has been Obamacare, which, me personally, has affected me in a negative way.
Did you forget about Osama bin Laden, sir?
Oh, yes. No, I haven't. That's interesting. Yes, that's a really good point. Osama bin Laden. So he called Osama bin Laden. His administration allegedly caused him
to
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
Okay.
Because I have my opinion on that.
We have many accomplishments that this president has
accomplished. Let's talk about them.
And we don't have to talk about him at this point because we're talking about Trump couldn't do half of what this man has done. Not in 8, not in 10 years.
Let's talk about what Obama
years.
Has done. What has Obama done? What has, besides Obamacare? What has he done? He didn't catch Bin Laden because how is a man in office for 2 years going to capture somebody that they've been searching for over 10 years? Let's be realistic about this. He didn't bring in any special information that fed the people that found him. Come on now, let's be real.
Oh my.
So let me ask you. Okay, so the first question I'll ask you is this. Where was the economy prior to Obama becoming president?
Oh, perfect. Okay. So we all know that historically, economy. So economy, you know that when you place something into law, it takes several years for things to come into law, right? It doesn't happen overnight. It's not going to happen over one night. It's not going to happen 2 years, and 3 years, 4 years. For something to take effect takes at least 5 to maybe 7 years to start taking effect, and for you to see the hold on, let me finish.
Let him go with this one. Let him go.
So
let
think
go.
About this. So during the time that Bush was president, you know, our economy wasn't that great, but what he put into place was able to make Obama have a very prosperous administration.
Really?
The only problem, the only issue that the Obama administration came into was when the recession happened, the bubble happened. That bubble happened was due to our wonderful Clinton leader. He was the one who put the whole housing thing into effect that eventually led us to the bubble. First thing, and here we are today where we had the recession under Obama.
So why do you think – let me ask you a question, though. Why did we have to pass a $787 billion Recovery and Reinvestment Act in 2009? Where do you think that came from?
That was part of the deal.
Obama,
you know, he needed to clean house. Bush needed to clean house.
Oh.
Because otherwise, how would he have been able to give Obama a better budget? There was no way.
Okay.
Clinton left us in a position that we needed to reorganize because we were in such
a bad financial status. Because we were in the worst recession that this country has ever seen.
When can a person making $30,000 a year afford a mortgage on $300,000? Nowhere. That's not possible. And that's what was the Clinton administration approved. People were going out getting these mortgages, knowing they couldn't afford it, but because the Clinton administration said, hey, you make $30,000 a year, you know what? Get that mortgage.
Dodd-Frank was another accomplishment of the Obama administration, along with passing that stimulus, along with health care reform, He did get Bin Laden.
Health care reform. That's another interesting one.
Okay,
if
now
you
let's
want to
talk
about
the Iraqi war. Did he not stop that? Is that not a problem
okay,
for stopping that war?
That I give you. That I give you. That I give you. He messed up on the Iraqi war. 100%. I'm not even going to try to defend that because that's true. He went in there. That was just something that he needed to justify because of his dad. Point
was
blank.
Was it not Obama that turned around the auto industry in 2009 when everybody else wanted to get rid of it?
Yeah, because he had the money to be able to do it. Because thanks to the Bush administration.
That $787 billion that he negotiated. Oh, yeah, you're
because
right.
He was
okay.
able, because the reason he was able to negotiate that was because he had the money and the funding to be able to give that out. Thank you to the Bush administration.
The Bush administration left us trillions of dollars in debt, sir, after receiving a surplus from his predecessor. That's actually what happened.
But who was his predecessor?
He took him for a war.
So Clinton was able to do this. How was he able to do this? By giving away mortgages and telling people that they can afford nothing that they can really afford. So
that
way it drove up the economy. It drove up
the
economy. It was because what that happened, it led people to spend and spend and spend and spend. And, of course, when people spend, the economy rises. So the figures look fantastic. So here comes along Bush and says, wait a minute, what's going on here? People are just spending money like it's water. What's going on? And then all of a sudden, wait a minute, we got to fix this because in a couple of years we're going to be screwed. Hey, and that's what happened.
Well, let me ask you, improved America's image abroad, do you think that was Bush or Obama?
Images abroad, I will say that was partly Obama, and simply because the country needed a change. You know, and he is a very charismatic person. I must admit he is very charismatic, very well spoken. I don't know if it's because that he can speak like that or it's written for him and he reads it like that, but he is. He's very charismatic, and I'm sure that he may have voted on a few things while those 2 years that he was in Senate for things that, you know, prospered. But that's all he had. He had no experience. You know, at the time, I still feel slighted because at the time I
really
was a Democrat.
About experience. In my opinion,
let me finish. I was very. So, that's my issue right there. People are so open to let Obama and acknowledge that he was very inexperienced when he took office. But yet here we have a person who has built companies. Yes, he has filed bankruptcy. But anybody that does business know that sometimes that's some things that need to happen in order for business
not
to grow
time,
or restructure. And a lot of it. And let me just finish on that one statement. And you also have to remember that he licenses his name out. That doesn't mean that he actually owns the company. He licenses his name out. For instance, I'm gonna give you another example. The casinos down in Atlantic City. They bared his name, but he didn't own them. He got rid of them before they went under, where he was able to make money. That's a businessman. That's what a businessman does.
He's being criticized for that, sir. Simply because
that's the sad part, isn't it? And that's the sad part.
He's supposed to go down with the ship.
Business is business. The definition of making business is to make money and make a profit. And he did exactly that. And you move on. You don't stay with the business till it dies. The point is, when you're an entrepreneur, you make a business, you make it grow, and to a point where it's time for you to quit, sell it, and go on to the next business venture.
So
that's
so
a business man.
I got to ask you a question. With 90 seconds to go, and I'll give you the next 30 seconds. How do you propose, I imagine that you are a Trump supporter, how do you propose that he will, if he's elected, transfer those business skills where you say the objective is just to make money, even at the cost of filing bankruptcy and hurting other people, right? So how do you suppose he's going to transfer that skill set into public office and do well for America?
Well, as far as the whole financial aspect of it, he has that down pat. He knows what business is. He knows he's gonna know what he needs to do with China and all the trading companies and on all the business that tried to leave the United States for cheap labor. He's gonna deal with that.
Has he laid out a plan that you can articulate to us?
No, he can't lay out. And let me explain this. The only reason that Hillary and Bernie Sanders were able to do that, that's because they've been in office all along and they know the details of the budget. But at the end of the day, what a good administrator does, he knows how to align himself with the people that will make the right decisions. Because do you really think Obama makes those decisions? He even admitted it. His advisors tell him otherwise. So at the end of the day. What does that mean? A lawyer means absolutely nothing. I know many, many lawyers that are complete idiots. Just because you're able to pass a bar exam doesn't mean you're a good lawyer. That just means that you're able to read a book and pass the test. That's all that means. That doesn't mean that you know how to apply it.
So you're saying you went to Trump U?
I'm sorry?
You're saying you went to Trump U?
I'm sorry? I didn't understand that.
I'm sorry, sir. Well, Ian, that's our show for tonight.
Our show for tonight, brother. Thank you for calling, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
A conversation with you. Absolutely.
I would love to.
Amen.
And let's talk about it in the future. I have some ideas, so let's talk.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Eric Dawson talking politics and breaking down the issues. Tune in live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. for all things political.